radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Play clock. Just set it off in time as Foster breaks down the sideline, uses his blockers, still going for the touchdown.
That Arian Foster touchdown run against the Cincinnati Bengals in the 2011-2012 playoffs gave them a commanding 31-10 lead. They would go on to win that game. Even though T.J. Yates was the quarterback in that game, they move on to the divisional round of the playoffs, play the Baltimore Ravens on the road, and despite a noble effort, they lost. But I remember after that season, the expectations were about as high as they've ever been for the Texans, much like after their win last year over the Browns before they ultimately lost to the Ravens. We were in the same kind of vibes. Unfortunately, this Texans season has been a rather frustrating one. But Saturday, they do start the playoffs at 3:30 NRG Stadium against the Los Angeles Chargers. And that guy that you heard running 42 yards for a touchdown, Arian Foster, is going to lead the Texans onto the field. Foster, who starred for the Texans from 2009 through 2015, writes HoustonTexans.com, will, quote, represent H-Town on field pregame by leading the H's up tradition to get fans ready for kickoff. Hand up. I've been to hundreds of games at NRG Stadium. I have no idea what the H's up tradition is. I'm assuming this is where Cal McNair and Hannah McNair, you know, they throw up the H's.
Yeah. They throw them up. And they tell everyone else to throw them up. And then there's probably cool music playing at the same time. See, like, they had me until the throw it, the H's up.
H's up. The H's up tradition.
Yeah. Like, running, like having to run out with the flag to start, like, that's fine. Like just he leads the team onto the field.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's enough.
That's enough.
And especially, like, we don't need the Vikings, like, whatever, the big horn thing that they do.
I mean, I would like that. That would be cool.
No, I'm saying that is cool. I'm not saying you have to be that. I'm not saying you have to be the, what's the 12th man thing? Oh, where they raise the flag.
They raise the flag in Seattle.
But that's all right. That's all right. Not bad. Less cool than the horn.
Patriots, they sound a lighthouse, you know? It's like a lighthouse something. I don't even know what it is.
Turn the lighthouse on?
Yeah, I like this. This requires less infrastructure than having to build a lighthouse to do this.
They built a lighthouse. Doesn't even look like one.
But this is like, we don't need this. We don't need
The H is up? Yes, we do. We need every little bit of wind in our sails for our beloved Houston Texans on Saturday against the heavy favorite Los Angeles Chargers. They're road favorites, okay? Yeah. They need everything they can get. And Arian Foster leading the H's up tradition, which I literally just found out about. Hell yeah. I'm starting to feel a little deep steel blue pill tingling my loins.
I think I'm just still too confused to feel the pill right now.
It doesn't matter. That's the point.
I'm too hung up on the throw your H's up.
I know, because like, you're up a little high when you're watching the games, Paul. So, like, you know, in the box, it's not the best viewing seats in the world. So your binoculars might not be out yet, but I don't know what the H's up tradition is.
I need to know one other person who's done this, who's thrown the H's up.
They're starting a tradition, and the best way to start a tradition is pretend the tradition has already been there.
That is true.
Texans swore! Which they literally started doing in the Browns game last year. The Browns playoff victory, not the Christmas Eve game where they got smoked, and they've been slowly trying to get people to do it. Problem is, Texans fans generally sell their tickets to fan bases from out of town, show up late to the game, so they probably have never seen the H's up tradition either. So I'm very excited to see what the H's up tradition is, and the fact that Arian Foster is coming back, hell yeah. Let's get J.J. Watt back.
Maybe it is a new tradition. What if it is that we're just not aware of it?
It's clearly, either way, whether it's new or it's been there, we weren't aware of it. But Arian Foster's going to be back.
He's going to lead it.
This is huge. This is huge, okay? We're trying to find a reason to be happy or excited about the Texans. when they play Saturday. And I mean, this is a reason to pay $400 for a nosebleed playoff ticket, I think. Zary Foster back?
I don't think they cost that much.
They're not that much?
No.
Prices are down?
49% on the secondary market. I got an
I don't
alert.
Know what that means.
I don't either. I got
49% on the secondary market.
I got an alert from Game Time today. They tell you when ticket prices drop.
Mm-hmm.
And it said ticket prices have dropped 49% in the last 7 days. Texans Chargers game.
Damn. It must sucks to have bought the tickets early.
You can get it for $78.
Oh, that's a bargain.
That's a pretty good deal.
That's a playoff game. That's pretty good. I mean, I'm not trying to do the Texans job here. Bringing Arian Foster back, though, that should have you paying $78 right away.
$78 to watch Arian Foster throw up the H?
Yeah.
That's before kickoff.
Yeah.
It's already your money's worth.
Because, I mean, Arian Foster, I mean, at age 38, the Houston Texans offense in 2024-2025, not much of a difference these days.
Damian Pierce had a 92-yard touchdown.
Joe Mixon had a very good season, too. He had 1,000 yards. I'm being facetious to a degree. But
he could be the third running back, yes.
I like that they brought Arian Foster back into the fold. That was very difficult to do because Arian Foster was notoriously anti the McNairs, I believe, in the hullabaloo that came after the inmates running the prison comments that he had supposedly made during the meetings about Colin Kaepernick with the NFL, NFL executives, and the NFL Players Association. I think it was like at the very top rungs of the Players Association. That was a huge deal. I mean, they almost didn't play that game against the Seahawks, which also happened to take place the same day as Game 5 of the 2017 World Series. But Arian Foster, back in our lives. You might remember Arian Foster for what he did on the field. He was a very, very good running back. I thought what was best about him, his footwork. Go back and watch that highlight of that touchdown that he ran. I somehow he stays in bounds.
Yeah, he's nearly pushed out of bounds.
Where he should have gone out of bounds. And I have no idea how he was able to tiptoe the sideline and ultimately score. He was very good as a receiver. He was very good as a runner. Fluid, quick, cat-like. He was a hell of a player. But I enjoyed Arian Foster, the personality, the most. This is Arian Foster during the 2014 offseason where Bill O'Brien had taken over. And he pulls a Marshawn Lynch here. Here's Arian.
How did it feel? Were you 100% out there today, Arian?
I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I can be, and I'm going to work hard at doing that.
Physically, you're good to go?
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, man.
Arian, can you tell us exactly what kept you out? What's going on?
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, I'm going to work hard at doing that.
But what was physically wrong?
Yeah, I'm just out here, man. Just, working hard every single day, trying to be the best teammate I could be.
What did it mean to be able to get back out here and start working?
Being with your teammates and being the best teammate you could be is like, it's what you strive to do. So that's what I'm out here doing.
Your teammates talk about how they want to see you out here. They know what you mean to this ball club. What does all that stuff mean to you, Arian?
Yeah, man. When you're the best teammate you could be, man, just work hard at doing that every single day, That's what we're out here trying to do.
Your body's starting to break down?
Yeah, man. I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I could be, and I'm going to work hard at doing that.
How's that coming, Arian, with your progress of being a better teammate?
Yeah, just every single day just trying to be a better teammate, man.
What do you think about these fans going crazy for you guys?
Yeah, man. I'm just, out here trying to be the best teammate I could be, and I'm going to continue doing that.
Arian, difference in how you felt today physically?
Yeah, man, I was out here trying to be the best teammate I could be, day in, day out, man, and I'm just going to continue working hard doing that.
What was the offseason like working at your brother's facility? Different than other previous seasons?
Yeah, just every single day, man, just working hard, trying to be the best teammate I can be.
You got that down.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Y'all take care.
You're Mark Berman at the end. Mark Berman
so is annoyed.
Pissed. Berman asked him that question about the fans, thinking he could guilt trip an answer out of Arian there. I respect Arian's commitment there. I remember I went on TV, CSN's Sports Talk Live, and I remember I was on, I think Brooke Bentley was on, and Kevin Eschenfelder was hosting. And on an episode where I called James Harden a douche, I also said, like, what Arian Foster did right there was one of the best things I've ever seen. And they were mad at me because I wasn't mad that he disrespected the media. I thought it was hilarious. The funny thing is, he was making fun of Bill O'Brien by doing that. Because Bill O'Brien, this is what I understand, had basically told everybody on the Texans, especially when they're asked about injuries, like, just do not give them anything. Do not give the media anything. As Detective Dignam says in The Departed, feed the media bleep and keep them in the dock. That's what he told them to do.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. I love the one report. I think it was Brian T. Smith, if I'm guessing off the voices. And I was like, so how's that going? Being the best team
that was you James. Can be. That was James Palmer.
Oh, was that James Palmer?
Formerly NFL Network, okay. Now Underdog Fantasy.
But like I thought, I very much enjoyed that one. But yeah, I mean, like the stakes so committed to the bit. See, I didn't know the backstory behind it. I actually thought my guess listening to it, so that didn't know the backstory, I thought someone told him he was being a bad teammate. Like maybe Bill O'Brien was like, "Hey, well, Arian,
could have been a part of it.
Like you're not being a good teammate. Go be the best teammate you can be." And then he goes, "Okay."
It certainly could have been part of it. I've had an exchange with Arian Foster like that before.
I can't wait to hear this.
So. I think this is during the 2012 season, and Arian Foster wasn't getting the ball thrown to him as much as he had the previous season. And, you know, young, bushy-eyed, browed reporter, Paul Gallant steps into NRG Stadium and asks him this question, which I don't think he liked.
Do you think you could be used more effectively in the passing game? Last 2 years, you had 600-plus receiving.
You want some... sound bites, huh?
Not really a sound bite. I mean, you know, the last couple of years, it's just been noticeable where you would have plays where you go for 60-plus yards.
I think if you ask any offensive NFL player, they're going to say, yeah, I could be used more effectively. But, I mean, what we do here is what we do here. So I've said it a lot of times. I'm a chess piece. I don't call the plays, I don't try to. I don't try to understand why we call certain plays. When we call a play and my number's called, I'm going to do the best I can for my team. I don't really get into the whole, I could be you. That's not my thing. That doesn't matter.
That was his other go-to. Like, I'm a chess piece.
Yeah.
That's where he started saying I'm a chess piece. After I asked that question.
That's a fair question. I don't think it was, you're trying to get a little bit of a soundbite, but like, you know, it's a totally right question about how he's being used. I mean, because I remember like from like a fantasy perspective, like how long is this guy going to keep this up for? Like he was like a can't miss guy for me,
because
that's really what I feel like when like PPR and stuff like that. Like when I was playing fantasy football and like wasn't covering the Texans or living in Houston, like that's when Arian was like such a high value player for someone like me. I know it's nerdy, but that's all I got on Arian Foster.
Cool,
he was awesome.
He was a great fantasy running back.
Yeah,
that's how I remember him when he's leading the tradition of throwing up the H's. I'll be like. That guy was an awesome fantasy.
I hope he says
PPR, man.
I hope he says at some point, like if he does an interview with someone this weekend, which I'm sure he will, I'm just trying to be a good teammate or be the best teammate I can be.
Even in retirement, I'm trying to be the best teammate I can be.
Drop it in there once. Because he has to know we all love it.
He has, I think, softened his anti-media stance. I've noticed this in really like the last 6 years. I remember we had him in studio once. This was after he had released his Bobby Fino rap album, mm-hmm. which was actually, I mean, listen, I'm not a rap connoisseur by any means, but I thought it was pretty good.
He definitely, I think the podcast stuff obviously will help so much like with that. With
Macrodosing,
like his Macrodosing podcast, which obviously goes all over the place because he's done I think it was very clearly a bit that the NFL is rigged, but then people didn't get it.
Yeah, because PFT commenters is
like they didn't get that he thought it was a bit too.
Basically, but. He PFT commenter from the Part of My Take podcast on Macrodosing interviewed Arian Foster and asked him if the NFL is rigged, and Arian Foster extremely sarcastically said, "Yeah, oh yeah, the whole thing is rigged," and some people took it and ran with it. Well, yeah, that's our book. There's a problem going back. They killed my parlay. Like, stuff like that. So, there you go. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean is behind the glass. Let's just dive right into it, guys. The Astros are 35 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. Give me that bone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Bregman still hasn't signed with anyone.
He is not.
Justin Verlander is now a San Francisco Giant. 1 year deal. Chandler Rome had a mailbag. He was asked a couple of different questions in The Athletic about what the Astros can theoretically do the rest of this offseason. And it seems like any future move relies on Ryan Presley waiving his no trade clause or moving some of their expendable bats to free up space. Mauricio Dubon, Victor Caratini, Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers.
I mean, it, obviously that makes sense. Also, I think it clearly shows like they must know they need another. I mean, they obviously know they need another outfield bat. So they're going to do that. This makes it seem like they're going to make another move or two to do that. Victor Caratini, like, I like Victor Caratini a lot, but like I like Cesar Salazar as well.
I thought you were about to say I like Cesar salads, and I thought to myself, that's a very strange.
There's a metaphor.
Side
here.
Note, yeah. But okay, yeah, Cesar like, Salazar.
Like he'd be a if he's just the backup for Yiner, like that's fine. Yiner's going to catch a majority of the games. But the only thing I can't tell though is like, are they? Is it Presley is unwilling to move his trade clause, or is nobody want him?
Well, I think it's both.
Yeah.
I mean, who would want him? Why would anyone want him? And he has a no trade clause. So who are you going to be able to actually ship him to, especially when his family is from here and likes it here?
Would you be comfortable if he's just still on the Astros next year?
I mean, he is on the Astros next year. Comfortable or uncomfortable, that's what's going to happen, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to move him.
No, I'm starting to lean that way, too. When it first came out, when it was first reported, it's like, oh, yeah, like this makes sense. Like someone will take a flyer on Ryan Presley, even if it's just for a super low-level prospect that is really a total nothing, like the guys the Astros have been acquiring in the last couple of days. But that hasn't happened yet, so either he doesn't want to leave or nobody wants him. Or like you said, it's probably a combo of both. But I'm with you. I expect Presley to be like a $14 million mop-up man next year. He's not the eighth inning guy. He's not the seventh inning guy.
I don't know what guy he is.
He's the mop-up guy.
Other than that. Yeah. Sixth inning guy.
Yeah. Like, if you're desperate.
Chandler was quick to point out that Presley has statistics that may indicate he was a victim of bad luck as much as deteriorating skills. So I suppose there's a world where next year he is effective, but I would not trust him in big spots. I feel Ryan Stresley when he's in those moments.
Yeah, my counter to that would be, look, if the Astros agreed with that sentiment, that it was just bad luck, then they wouldn't be trying to move on from him because they have this excellent pitching staff. Like, frankly, like if you're any other team in baseball, it's like, oh, the Astros don't want this guy. Yeah, we probably shouldn't take him on because they fix everyone. And if they're willing to trade him besides just the money, like if he was fixable to be like elite again, they would just keep him.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But now they have serious needs in the outfields. And I am wondering how they get that. It is not going to come courtesy of Greg Kessinger, who has been traded.
Oh.
They traded him to the Diamondbacks for prospect pitcher Matthew Linsky, who is an Atascocita high school grad and a Rice Owl.
Good for him. Is he any good?
He's a Atascocita high school grad and a Rice Owl.
Come on.
Well, that used to mean something.
Yeah, right. Right. Whoa! That's a great baseball program.
Whoa. No. That question was answered, Joe.
Okay.
By where he's from. Okay.
Rice grad.
Yeah.
He's a Rice grad and a Atascocita grad.
Just like
he's what? Smart.
Hayden Wesneski.
Yep.
He's from the Houston area.
Yep.
Hell yeah, dude.
All these guys are good. Ryan Presley. Texan.
Let's go. Yeah, man. Come on.
He's got a career 2.75 ERA in the minors.
See?
Yeah. Now let the Astros get their hands on him.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Verlander who?
Great point. Also, the Astros signed infielder Zach Short to a minor league deal. So, they got space to sign guys to the minors.
Look, the Space Cowboys, arrow up. And yeah, they just won a championship.
For sure.
They're reloading.
That's true. They won two championships and the third championship.
Yeah.
They won three championships in 1 year. First half champs, second half champs to the PCL. And all of minor league baseball champs.
And now they're going to be offseason champs.
Yeah, everyone's acting like their farm system's not good.
They got Cam Smith. They got, what's this guy, Zach what? Stone?
Short.
Yeah.
Close.
If the Astros struggle, you can always watch the Sugarland Space Cowboys or listen to them right here on your home for Sugarland Space Cowboys baseball. What else is going on in the Astros front as we are 35 days away? You see Isaac Paredes?
Mm-hmm. Clutch.
He had a clutch home run in the Mexican League. It was
blast, you know, a Baja blast.
And it was right where everyone says that he's going to crush it. It would have been right into the Crawford boxes.
Mm-hmm.
People are really banking on those Crawford boxes this year.
Well,
the Crawford boxes might be the most important player for the Astros this year, the way they're talking about them.
But you know what? You gotta play to your advantages, man.
That's true. You do.
You gotta play to your advantages. We got a couple of texts from the 832. If Presley waives his no trade clause, he'll be gone in a minute. That's a big F. He has no reason to waive his no trade clause.
That's the hard part, is to, you have to negotiate a trade with the however many teams that Ryan Presley actually wants to go to.
Right, and I don't think there's any, to be honest. This person says they want to move him to sign Santander. Sure, but again, you got to figure out where to send him.
You could just sign him and go over the luxury tax.
Yeah, there's that.
What
too.
A crazy concept.
That is ridiculous.
But they went over it last year, so it's not completely impossible. From the 713, Presley can be a solid 6-7 inning guy. 6th to 7th inning.
And there are a lot of times, maybe it was just this past season because they weren't very good and played a whole bunch of close games, where it felt like they were having to manage, like, oh, Brian Abreu and Josh Hader have thrown two nights in a row. They're unavailable for tonight. So on paper, if he's like the 6th inning guy, that means, I don't know, what, a third of the season, he's probably going to be the 8th or 9th inning guy just by how you have to manage arms throughout the year. So I don't think it's like that big of a problem.
The more the problem is the back of your rotation was supposed to be a strength last year because you had Presley, and now it is one that is missing two very expensive pieces, Rafael Montero, I guess he's still on the Astros, and Ryan Presley.
Yeah, the biggest thing is if they keep him, Presley just needs to pitch better.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and he definitely can. And then if he pitches well, maybe move him mid-season.
Hell yeah.
But
let's go. Key from L.A. says the Dodgers are screwed. Excuse me. The Astros are screwed this year. Ha, 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 ha. Go Dodgers. I'm writing that down.
Thanks.
Bulletin board material. It's a bulletin board material that the Houston Texans are ignoring. Up next on Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Derek Stingley getting his due. And, oh, Joe, I'm so sorry. You're not going to get your guy at coach. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Derek Stingley is having a great season for the Houston Texans. And per the NFL Players Association, which does its own all-pro team, because they don't like the liberal media, he is a first-team all-pro.
He should be. He's one of the best two cornerbacks in the NFL this year.
Hell yeah. But it's a first-team NFL Players Association all-pro.
So, if you're his agent, do you use this also? Like, it's not just... like, because what if the media leaves you off?
Yeah.
Well, the players, like, the people who actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Which, like, we learn after they do their podcast. When they start podcasting, it's debatable sometimes. But...
or if you get both, unanimous, all-pro.
Yeah. Oh.
Even though you don't actually have to be unanimous in any of the voting. It's just both lists you're on.
You're on both of them.
Yeah.
Pay that man.
Okay.
Pay him.
I'm sure people use, like, the PFF all-pro team. Like,
I'm sure
people use whatever they can as, like, this is why my client should get paid X amount.
Totally agree. It is heavy AFC, these lists, though. Like, it kind of shows, like, we kind of know it.
It's a gauntlet.
Yeah, but it's these players. It's all AFC players.
Yeah, Texans are good, and they don't have a chance.
Joe, I'm so sorry.
I know.
I'm so sorry for your Chicago Bears, because the Bears, who are trying to interview literally everyone,
under the sun. They wanted to interview Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy, and the Dallas Cowboys have denied that request. So you will not be getting Super Bowl champion head coach Mike McCarthy.
No, we will not. So at this point in time, I would like to say thank you, Jerry Jones. You're the best. You're the GOAT. I love you forever. Please never die. So,
but I mean, Mike McCarthy owns you. I mean, he kicked Bears' ass routinely.
Yeah, it's been a while.
With the Green Bay Packers.
It's been a while.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you like to harness the power of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
Your daddy?
I mean, it would be nice to get one Super Bowl. That'd be awesome, like he has with Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, for all the crap the Cowboys went through last year, they did have 8 wins.
No, I honestly, it's more about the idea of Mike McCarthy is not that bad. I don't want to retread. I don't want a retread coach.
Oh, you want another Matt Eberflus?
No, I want a Vrabel. Like
Matt Nagy?
Vrabel would be fine.
Matt Nagy's a candidate.
Pete Carroll would be fine.
Okay. Pete Carroll.
They're interviewing Pete Carroll today or yesterday.
Pete Carroll's the guy. They should get Pete Carroll. If they're looking for somebody to inject youth, the oldest coach in the National Football League when he left last year is definitely the guy. I say that not sarcastically, though.
Yeah.
No one is more energetic than that man. Pete Carroll, I don't think he sleeps. He terrifies me how energetic he is.
Yeah, like it's not like you're not worried about like how long is he coaching for. He's 73, but because he's so energetic. But he has to ask, like, his interview is pretty easy. Well, we fired this guy named Shane Waldron, who we hired from Seattle. Can you explain why you hired him? Because he sucked.
Pete Carroll's never going to give you the best offensive coordinator.
And then, for that reason, I'm out.
Well, I mean, I thought Caleb Williams was a savant and one of the greatest quarterback prospects we've ever seen.
You need a good OC.
Okay. Just checking.
Mike McCarthy was 19-7 against the Packers as a head coach.
Against the Bears?
Yeah. Or against the Bears as Packers.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think they all have pretty good records.
Yeah, I mean, they won for the first time since
2018. I remember because they showed it on the
and their first win in Rockets. Their first win in Green Bay since 2015. That might have been against Mike McCarthy.
It was definitely against Mike McCarthy.
The Raiders and other teams have inquired as to whether Bill Belichick would reconsider his move to North Carolina. I bet the Bears are one of these teams, given that they've asked to interview everybody. Smart move. They should get Bill Belichick. We bring some youth into the organization. Bill Belichick has said nah, per Diana Russini. He has no plans to return to the NFL. His sole focus is on coaching and recruiting for North Carolina as he continues to build the Tar Heels' future. He's recruiting today in New Jersey.
I'm not surprised. I mean, look at his contract. It has a $1 million buyout after a year. Like, no, not even. It's June 1st.
Yeah.
Which is still, the timeline doesn't really match up to any of this. We're like, obviously, a team's not waiting until June 1st to hire Bill Belichick. I think this is the right. I mean, I wouldn't do that. Like
you're not a winner.
Well, no. I mean, if I was Bill.
Oh, okay.
Once he opens that door, it makes recruiting harder, especially when no one already thinks he's not going to be there. Like, if he's going to bail, I think you got to do at least 1 year at North Carolina before you bail.
You can do whatever you want. He's football coach god.
He resigned from the Jets to go to the Patriots before he won anything.
Yeah,
as
but
a head
this
coach.
Job's not about him. It's about Steve. It's about his son.
Yeah, I do agree with that. That 1 year at North Carolina probably means that Steve Belichick is the next head coach. Where if he leaves right now, he might be like interim.
Yeah,
it's hard to make.
It's hard to say like he's the coach in waiting when Bill doesn't even coach a game there.
Yeah,
like, I think he has to put a little bit of time in for that coach in waiting thing to go into like full effect.
Not going to lie, speaking of Steve Belichick, I miss Steve Belichick because the Patriots defense was good with Steve Belichick calling plays, not with DeMarcus Covington, who Gerard Mayo brought in instead of Steve Belichick. Belichick went to Washington. Whatever, it's fine. Robert Saleh is set to interview with the Jaguars next Tuesday.
I mean, it would make sense. He got a raw deal in New York.
Got to give your quarterback a defensive-minded head coach.
Yep. But they also need like stability too. Honestly, I thought he was going to be on more lists than he's on. He's only on that list. He's only been requested by the Jags.
Only by the Jags?
Which I don't know why he has to be requested since he got fired. That's strange to me. I guess he's technically under contract or something like that. But, yeah, I only have Robert Saleh for Jacksonville right now. The Jets, who are now up to 14 candidates along with the Bears. Well, obviously, they're not going to interview Robert Saleh. But the Bears, Saints, Patriots, Raiders have not interviewed Robert Saleh, not requested Robert Saleh yet, which surprises me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Patriots aren't going to.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I would think he's DC this year, right? He becomes a defensive coordinator somewhere.
Yeah.
He's one of those coaches that it didn't work out, whatever, as a head coach. I think he immediately just goes back to he is one of the best defensive coordinators in the league, and he should be highly sought after for, like, you know, he should be Ben Johnson's defensive coordinator. He should be a defensive coordinator with someone else. I don't know.
Ryan's.
I think...
I'm not doing that to Matt Burke. Come on. Unless Matt Burke gets a head coaching job.
Shanahan fired his defensive coordinator yesterday in San Francisco. So
hell
again?
Yeah. Yes, again. That's 2 years in a row.
I was surprised when they fired Wilkes.
Yeah, that's 2 years in a row. So
wow.
Okay. Maybe they fired him because they know Saleh's coming back.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. By the way, some bleep going down in L.A. Does it help the Houston Texans out? There are wildfires and fire-nados in Los Angeles. Have you seen some of the images of this? Holy crap.
Startling.
Actually thinking long and hard about the people in L.A. right now. Vikings-Rams is supposed to be played Monday at SoFi Stadium, but the NFL is monitoring developments in the area. They will remain in contact with both clubs and the National Football League Players Association. Do they move the game to Phoenix? Do they move the game to Las Vegas? Right now, no changes made, but yeah, these images are pretty crazy. I imagine in some way, shape, or form, they are affecting what the Chargers are doing this week, too.
Yeah, I mean,
advantage Texans!
Yeah, if the Chargers, I mean, I imagine like maybe they're trying to get here right away. Try to get here sooner, potentially. Yeah, for the Rams and Vikings, I don't know. We'll wait and see, but it's terrible. Even the photo that John put out today from right outside, I think his...
Oh, yeah, I forgot Granado's there.
Yeah, his wife's TV studio, so you can see the fire, like, in the distance. Like, and that doesn't look that far away.
Well, Granado should be doing some investigative journalism on the fire NATOs, I think, for tomorrow's show. Like, how is it affecting the Chargers? He's the, you know...
Boots on the ground.
He's our agent, yeah. Our sleeper cell in L.A.
I don't like bad weather. Fire NATOs, that sounds like the worst.
Yeah, that's like, apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a move that like a supervillain would have.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he's creating fire NATOs all over L.A.
Or God during the apocalypse. Like, jeez. These images are... I keep on seeing more and more of them on X. Wow.
Some of the ones where like they're like inside people's houses where like the cameras are still just running. But like the house, the fire's all around, like engulfing the house.
Yeah. That guy should have left. But and hopefully he's doing all right. One last note. The Patriots will interview Ben Johnson Friday.
All right.
For their head coaching vacancy. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5. 92.5. You want to weigh in on the Houston Texans, their playoff game against the Chargers, where we're still struggling to get optimistic about. You can. You want to talk about Justin Verlander leaving the Astros for the Giants. You can as well. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Up next, we've got to talk about America's team for the ratings, because it's been a pretty funny week. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Texans Chargers is Saturday, 3:30, NRG Stadium. A texter said, in response to Joe and I looking at the Texans as if they are dead men walking going into this game, saying they are the fourth seed with home field advantage. They should win. Yes, they should win.
They have less wins than the Chargers.
They should win.
They should.
I mean, I am looking at them as if they should win. I am also of the belief that they cannot win. Does that make any sense?
I think they can win. They definitely can win. And it's fair to say they should win. I don't think they will win.
Yeah, I think they can beat the Chargers. Like, that's not where the existential dread of the Texans in the playoffs comes from. Like, it's not like they're playing some, like, unslayable Goliath with the Chargers. It's just that if you beat the Chargers, then you have to play an unslayable Goliath.
Yeah.
Maybe you get lucky and play the Bills?
Yeah, you'd have to.
Maybe you get lucky. You're playing either the Bills or the Chiefs.
Yeah. Right. It's going to take a miracle for you to play anyone else, like Firenados in those locations or something like that. So, yeah, I know what I said makes absolutely no sense, but like, they should win this game. And I look at them right now because of the Christmas Day Letterman jackets light performance, and I think they are incapable of winning the game. I'm hoping that by Saturday at 3:30, I'll feel differently. And I will say, pretty interesting. I saw Landry Locker and some of the Houston Texans media posting pictures and videos of some of the cuisine offerings at NRG Stadium. One of them is in El Tiempo, Texas-sized tamale. This makes me wonder about the most important thing. Is NRG Stadium about to introduce a $40 El Tiempo margarita? Because if they do, this could change everything when it comes to my enjoyment of Saturday's game. Hell, my belief that the Texans could pull it off. If they start serving $63 El Tiempo margaritas at NRG Stadium, I will 100% participate. And if you give me that $117 El Tiempo margarita, I think there's a chance. So, Texans, I know you listen. Hashtag swarm. Swarm me up. Swarm me good. Get me my margarita. Frozen, please. Thank you.
Who's it named after?
Tahino.
Who do you think? Stingley?
What?
It was the Haterade. Is it a Derek
Stingley?
No,
we're not doing a Haterade.
No, but is it a Derek Stingley themed margarita? Will Anderson?
No, they're not going to theme it. I don't want no themes, okay? The Haterade sucked. That's what the Astros bartenders
Swarmarita?
that could work.
Swarmade.
No.
Watermelon flavor.
Just give me the margarita, okay? Give me the frozen margarita. That's it. That's all I'm asking for. Right. You know who would have an El Tiempo margarita? Jerry World.
And
America's team. America's team would take care of my margarita desires, I imagine. It's time for another episode for the ratings of Playing with the Boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
We talk about the Dallas Cowboys sometimes for ratings, and since their season came to an end on Sunday, hey now, let's talk about them. Jerry Jones said he's going to be the GM of the Dallas Cowboys until he dies.
I love it.
I didn't buy an investment. I bought an occupation. I bought something I was going to do. I was 46. I bought something I was going to do for the rest of my life, and that's what I'm doing.
I mean, look. He's right. This is your right as the owner of the team. Wonder what the kid thinks.
Steven?
Yeah. Like, hey, Dad, can I make some picks here? Please? Is it my turn yet?
What's Jerry done that's been so bad?
I feel like everyone he's very convenient to blame for their problems because he has that title and because he talks all the time.
I think that's what it is. Is that he talks all the time and they haven't made an NFC championship game in 30 years?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won anything since he bought the team.
No, since he took over.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because he ran out Jimmy Johnson after winning a bunch.
I mean, and I think that's what it goes back to that a lot of it, too, is he ran out Jimmy Johnson, but then he kept Jason Garrett forever. And now it seems like he's keeping Mike McCarthy.
He's
forever.
A family man. He cares about family values, he cares about loyalty. I've heard that. You know how I know this? Because of an episode of The Landman where Jerry Jones delivered an Emmy worthy performance on Paramount Plus.
I just know it's not going to be this time, but you're going to be sitting here sometime in the future, laying here sometime in the future. And this room's going to be full of your business associates and the people you've worked with all your life. And more than likely, your children and family are going to be there because they're your children and your family. But you could have them there because they're the people you spent your life with, you worked with, you fell down with, you got up with. Not just Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's who you want to be with. So when that time comes like this, it's a celebration of your life. And you're not wishing you'd spend a little more time seeing a few more sons come up. That's the trick. That's the trick. Because that's going to be your glory. I'm pretty proud of them Cowboys. I'm pretty proud of the stuff we've done in oil and gas. It pales in comparison to how proud I am is to have lived my life working with my kids.
Damn. And here's Joe saying, like, oh, his son should be mad at him.
He was great. Are you watching it live?
I've not seen an episode yet.
Okay.
It's on the list of shows to watch.
I really enjoy it. I really, really enjoy it. This is the season finale coming up this week.
Okay.
What a surprise when all of a sudden Jarrett is just sitting there in a hospital room with John Hamm.
Out acting John Hamm and Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Billy Bob, they don't talk.
They don't talk. And, like, Jerry talks for like 3 minutes and Billy Bob says, like, hi, Mr. Jones. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Nice.
John just kind of nods his head a couple times and goes, yeah.
Let's go. I'm
excited. They know to get out of the way when Jerry Jones is cooking.
I wonder what the reaction was like the first time he did it. If it was like that good.
I'm sure it was.
What is happening?
Yeah. I believe more that he nailed it the first time than he like got coached through it.
Yeah.
I bet that was straight from the heart. Jerry Jones is a family man.
It helps that he was playing Jerry Jones. That helps. Because he is basically just talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
98. Maybe he didn't know he was acting. Maybe he thought it was like
it's
a real...
98. That's so offensive.
That's your owner. That's 104.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Old Sister Jean owns the Bears.
How old is Jerry Jones?
He's like 80-something.
He's in his 80s.
Okay.
You made him 98.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's 82. I was only off by 12 years.
Sprightly 98. Yeah. By the way, and the reason they're keeping Mike McCarthy around, Joe's Bears aren't getting Mike McCarthy, it's because Mike McCarthy's a winner. That's what at least he thinks. Here's Mike McCarthy.
Coach, Sydney Staples, D210 Sports. You mentioned that you're a builder, but is there anything else you feel that you specifically bring of value to the Cowboys organization if you were to come back here after your contract expires?
I understand why you ask the questions. I don't like to talk about myself that way, but I'll just be clear. I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship. I won a championship in this building, and that's who I am. So, and we'll see where it goes.
I don't like to talk about myself, but I'm a winner. Hell yeah, let's go, Mike.
Where's the contract, Mike? I thought as soon as they denied the Bears' request that we were going to get an announcement pretty quickly that they were.
Their contracts are set up to expire 2 weeks after the season ends.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, when we will hear about a contract extension for Mike McCarthy.
He is a winner.
Super Bowl Sunday, so that Jerry Jones can put the Cowboys back in the national headlines. That's what's going to happen.
No one's going to talk about the Super Bowl. No one's going to talk about a team that's picking like 12th in the draft bringing back their coach.
Right, because a lot of people like Mike McCarthy. That's how Jerry Jones stays Jerry Jones.
What?
All you haters that can't act like him and can't own like him, you just wish you had him.
What do we start our show with the Monday after the Super Bowl?
Jerry Jones, baby.
Playing with the boys.
Yeah.
Let's go. By the way, someone texted in a Fosterita with Arian Foster leading out the boys.
That's good. That's good.
That's a good name for it.
That's good.
It's a good name. But I just want the old-fashioned. Just give me the old-fashioned El Tiempo frozen margarita. They have it there. I will pick the Texans to win by 20.
I'm sure we can look up like who their vendors are, right?
I don't think there's an El Tiempo in NRG Stadium, okay. But I could be wrong.
But if they're doing this El Tiempo stuff, then
I think
maybe
there's a chance.
Maybe it's coming.
If there is, I will find it. I'll actually show up to the game more than an hour early.
You'll be throwing your H's up.
Oh, yeah.
With both hands full of margarita.
For real.
Oh, it's definitely going to have an H in it, the margarita name.
Margarita?
That's not what I meant, but yeah.
It's really the only place to put it.
No, I meant it's really called the H-arita.
Ugh.
No, that sounds like something that has Hennessy in it. Hard pass. Galana George, he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Nobody believes in the Houston Texans. Is that going to get them motivated for the big game Saturday against the LA Chargers? Plus, Justin Verlander's a giant. The Rockets had a nice win last night. A lot more to dive into with the Washed Wash Wednesday in the final hour of the show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.